Morning, everybody. I'd like to start our time of devotion with going to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look at Psalm number 2. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would bless it today as we read it and look at it together, that you would speak this truth into our lives, Father, and that you would help us to cling to it and believe it. And we pray for this morning, Lord, that you would order the events, Lord, that you would guide us today. You would help us to trust you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm number 2 is kind of a rerun for me since I've been doing devotions. But I looked at I have a note from January 6th, 2019, but it came back up for us in thinking about just all the craziness going on in politics and the election and all the noise. And so I thought this was a really encouraging psalm in light of that. And I just wanted to share it and talk about it a little bit this morning. So Psalm number 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. So starting this psalm off, the psalmist starts off with a question about the nations. Why are they raging? Why are they plotting in vain? For nothing. Why all this fruitless raging, plotting, planning to do what? To set themselves against, actually take counsel and position themselves, their posture against the Lord and his anointed. Taking counsel together, effort is put forth to set themselves against the Lord and his anointed. And they say, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. In other words, their counsel is leading them to say, let us be done with the law of God. Let us be done with the rule of God and God's anointed. We want none of it. We are through with it. That is where their counsel leads. And their raging and their plotting and planning and their activity all leads to saying, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be rid of God. We're going to be rid of his rule. We're going to break these bonds. We're going to throw these cords away from us. So that's the psalmist starting off just asking that question. Why are they doing this? And the reaction of God in verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision or mockery, this idea of taunting, even. God is holding them laughing in mockery of their plan to overthrow God, overthrow his anointed, to cast off the rule of God. He's laughing about that, seated in the heavens, seated above all. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them with his fury, saying, why is he laughing? And this is the answer. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. That's why he's laughing, because it's already done. He already has his king planned and set. Speaking of the descendant, the final descendant of David, the Messiah, Christ. Now listen to verse 7. I will tell of the decree. The decree, we heard many times the difference between a decree and a desire from Brother Mark. And so it's a decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Speaking of Jesus, quoted in Romans by Paul, quoted twice, I think, in Hebrews, this verse. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Both, in all cases, speaking of Jesus. Ask of me, I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. This clay pottery kind of example here, where we're just the vessel and God is the one who forms us, and he can do what he wants with us. You see that coming out here, and you see Jesus being given the nations as his heritage and as his possession. He has ownership of them to do what he wants with them. And you see this language sort of paralleling verse 3. The wicked are desiring to burst their bonds apart and cast away cords. And then Christ will break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. But this idea that the nations already belong to God, that Christ is already king, and he's already set up as king, is the reason for God holding these wicked, rebellious Gentiles in derision and laughing at them, laughing at their plans to overthrow God's anointed. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Now, this talk of God laughing and holding him in mockery, and then this decree about Christ, and then you see the nations belong to Christ, and it talks of breaking the nations with a rod of iron that's pretty fierce, and the wrath of God. But then there's grace given in verses 10 through 11, where there's a warning given. Because of this, because I've already set my king up, because he's already inherited the nations, and they belong to him, they're his possession, be warned, O rulers of the earth, kings, be wise. Exercise wisdom. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Submit to the Son. Submit to my anointed. Submit to Christ, unless he be angry and you perish in the way. The grace of God even displayed. You'd think the psalm would just end with one of those situations where it's over and over. Wow. The wicked are really going to get it. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not in the camp of the wicked. But there's grace shown in verse 10 and 11. And says, well, kiss the Son, lest you be angry. Submit to the Son. Don't perish. And then ending the psalm, blessed are all who take refuge in him. So the idea is that this is already going on. Christ is already king. And he's already been placed above the nations, above all rulers, above all kings. And he is set there, set to inherit the nations and possess them and break them and cause them to submit. And this is why God deems the rulers taking counsel, plot against God and overthrow him and his anointed, as laughable and worthy of mockery. Because this is already done. And so, praise the Lord for Christ and for his possession of the nations and for his rule, and that he is king. And I thought of this in terms of, you know, the recent election and fear and, you know, what about the next 4 years and what's going to happen? And was reminded by the psalm that what's going to happen is what's been happening for all time, is that Christ is king. And these rulers that he sets above us are not above him, but we are subject to his rule, to Christ's rule. And he will always be on the throne, regardless of what happens. And it just struck me, and the challenge of the psalm just is really easy to read and just jumps off the page, but the challenge is to believe that, to really believe and act and walk in a way, for me, that shows that we believe that Christ is above what's going on down here and actually purposing it as part of his divine plan. And I, you know, something I've been saying during the last 4 years, and been thankful for some good things that have been happening, whether or not you attribute causality to the candidate is, you know, your opinion, but just, I've been thankful for some good things that have happened over the last 4 years. But one thing I've kept saying is we got to have a better plan than another 4 years of that, and then everything goes south again. And the better plan is Christ, and putting our trust in him and truly seeing him as ruling all this. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't take his people through trials, and he very well may, and we'd be foolish to think that God ruling and reigning means that we're not going to have persecution. But all those who take refuge in him are blessed, what it says at the end. So, praise the Lord for his reign as king. He is king right now. He is king. He is above all. So I'm just thankful for that this morning. And then a psalm of thanksgiving that Jameson wanted me to read. He reminded me of this. Heard his mom and dad talking last week about all the crazy things going on. I said, let's read psalm number 100. I said, what does that say? And so it's a short psalm. Get a little echo action here. We'll read that. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. We can be thankful that Christ is king. Amen.